Welcome to Reality Check Live radio program, discussing topics that are close to the heart of conservative America. If you love your family, your country, and honor God, Reality Check is for you. Join Mike and Clary and their exciting guests right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network and on nettalkworld.com. Also on uswebtalkradio.com. Check out our website, realitychecklive.talkspot.com. And now, here's Mike and Clary.
Good morning. Welcome to Reality Check Live with Mike and Clary.
Yes.
Good morning, Clary. I'm supposed to say something to you.
Yes, good morning. It's a lovely morning in Florida.
It really is. And folks, I hope you feel really good that the president secured, I believe, $20 billion from those big, nasty oil companies known as BP. And what's really awesome, that the government is going to get the $20 billion and they're going to distribute the money. Just think of their track record. They had six.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are they going to allow Acorn to distribute the money?
Maybe, because I was just thinking about the stimulus, almost $800 billion. And what a great job it did. It was supposed to keep unemployment under 8%. Oh, by the way, the jobless claim went up to 742,000 from 12,000. Just think how well Obama has done with the stimulus money. And now he got another $20 billion
from a foreign country.
From a foreign country. And you really think, is it going to go to those poor people out there?
Are the Americans going to get it? Are the people who need it over here going to get it?
I doubt it very much. I think what's going to happen is the people who represent Obama, who believe in the Democrats there, are going to get the most money to basically give it to the people so they can win the reelection in the Gulf states.
Not only that, he's going to get a lot of people. He's going to form a lot of committees to sort out all sorts of stuff. And the committees that he places in position, those are the ones who are going to be drinking all the money. And the people who are on the environmental and whose jobs are gone because of the oil spill, they're not going to get very much.
Well, Clary, since this is such a dilemma, right now we have Mr. Wright, Lawrence of St. Petersburg, with the Kook Report. Lawrence, welcome to today's show.
Well, good morning, Arkansas, Mike and Clary, and Tampa Bay area. Isn't today wonderful?
Everything seems to be
going just smoothly along.
I think it's going south, personally.
Oh, really? I was being sarcastic, if you can believe that. I was listening to Rachel Maddow last night and Keith Overhead, and it seems like there's a little problems in Central City here. It seems like that the left is turning on the Great One, and it appears that he's not in control. He's out of control.
Well, the one good thing is, though, he will be golfing on Sunday.
That's exactly right. He doesn't miss any golf. And for all you people out there, we're not making this up. We say it sarcastically, but it's a fact. Barack Hussein Obama has played more golf as president in a year and a half than George W. Bush did in 8 years. And that's a fact. And we understand that he should have that time to play a little basketball and golf every week because he doesn't have much on his plate.
Right, and he also appeared to the American population on TV. He's the American TV star, isn't he?
Yes. I'll tell you another great American TV star. Have you had a chance to see a great Democrat from South Carolina, Alvin Green? Have you seen his interview?
Alvin!
Yes. Alvin is just a great spokesman for the Democrats, much like Barack Hussein Obama. And I would invite people to go Google, I think it's MSNBC, it was on Overhead Show, where Alvin Green was interviewed. It's just another great example of a well-spoken Democrat who happens to be an African-American.
Well, let me just bring up a couple points, okay? You would think that since America has so many fronts that's going on, so many, you could say, explosive fronts taking place. We have terrorists coming in through the south of the border.
Yes.
We have Iran, North Korea, Syria,
Pakistan.
Well, let's talk about Pakistan also, okay, has been funding the Taliban.
Yes.
And they have
their
weapons there. And now we got the worst oil crisis in American history.
Yeah.
And would think after his speech on Tuesday that on Sunday he would really dedicate that day to worshiping God and praying for a miracle because he came off as such a religious spiritual.
Well, of course, and you know how happy that made all the lefties. What we forgot to say is the unemployment rate and the national debt, and now the solution from our great leader, keyword leader, he is now going to attempt to pass cap and trade to put us in a deeper hole, and that's his solution. And now the left, as well as the right, the majority of the American public have woken up, and the left is in complete denial.
And the whole thing, the American people, and even Democrats of his own party are wondering, how does cap and trade plug the hole? And this is interesting, and it hasn't been really said on mainstream media. There was a ban. BP was not allowed to drill in 500 feet when they applied for the permit under this administration, but they are allowed to drill in 5,000 feet of water. Now, have you heard anything about that?
Well, that's the environmentalists that have influenced our government to be out of sight and then out of mind. But they made it more difficult to operate, and these types of accidents are more apt to happen in those conditions too far out and too far deep. But where we could drill on land and not have these type of issues, we are not allowed to do that. And so what we have here is, again, a lack of leadership. Barack Hussein Obama is completely void of any leadership. He is on permanent campaign mode. He is out of his element. And you know the old story that the emperor has no clothes? Well, the President Obama is embarrassingly naked, and everyone sees it.
Do you think he might have missed his calling, that he should have been called to doing info commercials instead of trying to lead the United States of America that was once a great shining light that has become somewhat darkened, but there's still hope in our horizon?
Well, I didn't think that was the hope that Obama was talking about. But again, everyone now knows, and they're holding their breath, that he doesn't have anything more to deal with on his plate. And we are now a short 6 months away from the beginning of the next presidential election, where Barack Obama will not be running, and he'll go back to Chicago and erect his library, which will be another monument to his failures.
You know, I think you all are being totally unfair to the president, because he promised that he was going to give us change. He didn't use the word pocket in front of it, but he said change, and we are getting change, coppers for our dollars.
Well, and you don't have much change left in your pocket when he gets done. I just find it beyond belief. But what I now know, Clary and Mike, when you have people that are hardcore lefties like Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews and what's his name, the mouth of the South, the guy down in New Orleans, James Carville, and all these people that are now ridiculing and commenting negatively on our president, the dam is about to break.
Hey, now, if you go to what website, hotair.com, and under his blogs is something that Senator Curry said. Green jobs push always works, okay, except where they don't.
Is that the same guy that voted for it before he voted against it?
Yeah,
I thought so. And by the way, John Kerry's wife, Teresa Hines, has just changed the formula for their ketchup. I just thought I'd let you know, nothing lasts forever.
Man.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, and by the way, could you imagine, we're talking about unemployment rose quite a bit, okay? Another 12,000 claims were added. Could you imagine if we didn't have all the temporary workers for the census, which were fired, rehired, census, and rehired, but never deducted the firing and just added the rehiring, our unemployment could be close to maybe 11-12%.
That's exactly true. And that would enable Barack Hussein Obama to surpass the brilliance of the last failure that was the worst in history, James Earl Carter. Obama still got plenty of time to take over that spot to be the worst president in history.
You know, I believe that because they did a lot of underhand politics in Chicago, they think they could do it in the White House and get away with it. But they don't realize that the population, the American population, is more interested in what happened in the whole country than what happened in Chicago. Therefore, we are finding out all the secrets that they have and all these things, like hiring the workers, firing them, and then hiring them again so the census can look as if it's gone up. But people are not that stupid, and I'm sure people are getting wise about the whole thing.
Yes, and I have a question that I'd like the listeners to hear and maybe call in tomorrow or email the answer. What is the statute of limitations that Barack Hussein Obama can criticize his predecessor, George Bush? Is it a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or the statute of limitations never runs out? You can always blame somebody like a poor loser.
I just want to give one example, and I got to go on to my next guest in a moment. But you remember when the Bay of Pigs failed, okay?
Yes.
President John F. Kennedy took full blame for it. He didn't plan the attack. He didn't set it forward. It was President Eisenhower. Did you ever hear President Kennedy ever say what this particular president is saying, that this president is saying everything is George Bush's fault? And even the media is saying that the oil leak, of course, out there is George Bush's fault. But we need to see, once again, character back in this nation, because I hate to say this, Mr. Wright, but what you're seeing in Washington is the reflection of what we are as a people in America. We lost our way. We lost our Christian Judea values. We forgot what we look like in America. But I got a feeling the American people are starting to wake up. I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, they are waking up, and the left is in denial. But it is very enjoyable to watch them crumble, because values, leadership, morals, and common sense is about to take back over, and not a moment too soon. And God bless America.
And God bless you.
And on the line right now, we have Joel Auster. He is the senior legal counsel for Alliance Defense Fund. Joel, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you back. And there's like three different issues that are taking place where Alliance Defense Fund is in the forefront protecting our religious freedoms. And so before we get started on these subjects, would you please allow the listeners to know a little bit about Alliance Defense Fund?
Yes, great. We are a national legal organization that's dedicated to keeping the doors open for the spread of the gospel. Our website is tellADF.org, and if you want to support us, that would be great. If you want to follow our cases, you can follow it online at tellADF.org.
And Clary and I, every month, I would say for about 2 years, maybe 3 years, we send a check. It's not a large check, but it's a consistent check, because we believe in what you're doing and representing our freedoms in this country. Because what we're seeing here in America is what you saw take place in Soviet Union, in China, and anywhere that's been a communist nation, cast down in Cuba, is trying to rid this nation of its spiritual heritage and to basically get rid of the Bible. And there's a story I want to bring up, and I know you probably know something about it. It's one of the cases that you're representing, and it was just came out on WorldNet Daily yesterday that the Bible is being banned in Boise. Was that Idaho? And I was kind of shocked to hear that the Bible is being banned because it's going to influence the children wrongly. Have you heard anything about that story?
A little bit, but it should not come as a shock to us. This has been on the agenda for the groups like the ACLU. They're very much offended by the Bible and by the message of the Bible, the gospel message. And so we are fighting this fight to keep the doors open for the spread of the gospel, because there is a concentrated attack by the other side to remove all religious things from the public square.
Now, let me just ask you a question, and this is just an opinion question. I know you couldn't use this in court, but, you know, when I understand, like, people like myself who believe in the gospel, who believe in evangelism, who believes that America is a Christian Judea nation, and we would love to see the Bible, the Ten Commandments hanging back once again in our schools like I saw when I was growing up, we were a great nation under that guidelines. Now, that's my motive behind here, because I know America has been blessed by God. Now, why do ACLU and other organizations want to rid God from our nation, and what are they hoping to see America look like without a God over it?
Well, it's clear the ACLU's vision for America is much different than our vision for America. We believe, based on their actions in court, the ACLU would like to see a very much a secular state where God is nowhere to be found in our nation. They want the Supreme Court wall sandblasted to remove the pictures and the images of Moses and the Ten Commandments. And that has been on their agenda since the very beginning, and they would like to see a secular state brought to America, and we've got to fight that.
And then if we have a secular state in America, then does that mean the elitists that will be in Washington and the government across this nation will become the gods of America?
Well, your imagination could run away with you, but you're absolutely right. When you remove the basis of our rights, and the Declaration of Independence clearly states where our rights come from, they come from our Creator. If you remove that as a basis for our law, then man itself becomes the basis for our law. And it's a very humanistic society. We remove all references to God. You know this. I'm preaching to the choir here, but America has a Christian heritage. That's who we are. That's our past. You can't change that. Be it groups like the ACLU are trying to change that so future generations won't know about our religious heritage.
And, well, you know, we know it's part of our history and our heritage, but there are those who are trying to change our history and the history books being taught to our children. Because let's be honest, most conservatives for the last 20, 30, 40 years since the Cultural Revolution of the 60s have not paid attention to what's taking place in our educational system. When they removed God out of prayer out of schools, we really didn't take a stand. When abortion went through, we didn't take a stand. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves like a frog that's in a boiling pot of water, and we're trying to jump out now. Yet, I don't think it's quite boiling. I still think we have time. And this brings me up to your next story that you guys are representing, Alliance Defense Fund. Now, in Boston, in a children's vacation Bible school, the Bible also was banned. Is this true?
Yes, that was a case that I personally worked on, and what the city of Boston said was that you cannot have religious content in any of the public meeting rooms within the community centers in Boston. And our client used these community centers, one room, to hold weekly after-school meetings to study the Bible and to study character and virtues from a biblical perspective. And in fact, this week they had scheduled a vacation Bible school, and they were told, basically, you've got to keep the Bible out of vacation Bible school, because what they said was you cannot have any religious content in these rooms. We threatened the lawsuit. We educated them as to what the law actually does require, which is a neutrality towards religion. And so then they backed off at the 11th hour, and we are thankful they did back down at the 11th hour.
How can you have a vacation Bible school without Bibles? That doesn't make sense, you know?
That's a good point.
And the fact is that, you know, they may try the government and the ACLU and the anti-Christ people. They're all trying to suffocate Christianity, but they're not going to be able to, because one thing we know, you can't kill something that is alive like the Word of God.
Absolutely. But you know what we're fighting is this prevalent myth called the separation of church and state. The ACLU has done such a good job of perpetuating this myth that many government leaders think it actually is in our Constitution, when it's not. I just hand them a pocket Constitution and say, please show me where this separation of church and state is, and they can't do it because it's not found anywhere in our Constitution. But we're constantly fighting that myth.
Now, does anyone have the original letter where Jefferson was addressing this? And I believe he was addressing this issue to a number of Baptist pastors so they didn't have to worry about the federal government trying to start a single denomination in America?
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about the letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Convention, where Thomas Jefferson assured the convention that they were not going to, the government was not going to interfere with their religious beliefs and practices. It was never meant to get rid of all things religious from the public square.
Yeah, and we're seeing what's happening, you know, and we see what's happened in America the last 20, 30, 40 years, the further and the more that we allow ACLU, we allow our school systems, we allow government to remove God from the public arena. Look what's happening every day. Look at our children. Out of teenagers, 25% of all our girls have an STD. We don't even know what the rate of young men. Look at the height of suicide. It's higher now than it's ever been for any growing child. And also, we look at the how many children have to be placed on medications for, you know, for behavior so that they don't hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. And we're seeing that a godless society produces nothing but hopelessness. And you wonder why the good people of America, 83% of us, we didn't even know this was going on. Joe, I didn't know this was going on to 3.5 years ago. And I was over in Niger on a mission trip, and I felt God saying, I want you to enter the cultural war. What is a cultural war? I didn't know this, but you probably know this has been going on for years.
Oh, absolutely. And our founding fathers were smart enough and wise enough to recognize that if you want to have a prosperous civilization, a very good country, then you have to have morality. And morality is governed by the Bible and biblical principles. And that's why they thought education or that religion was so important. The Northwest Ordinance in 1787 says that religion and morality are necessary for the betterment of mankind. And so they promoted public morality, and they promoted Christian principles. But today you see a different world. You see a different governmental attitude towards things religious, or you see a hostility towards things religious. And because of that, you see the consequences like what you just mentioned. We need God now more than ever.
You know, I take a look back at the last three presidents, and maybe I'm wrong to think some of the things that I'm going to say, and you may correct me. But Bill Clinton was president, and he got caught with Monica Lewinsky and with having oral sex. Then we saw an epidemic of junior high kids across the nation that were having oral sex, and of course came certain type of STDs, and this is a major problem. Then with President George Bush, who did a wonderful job protecting us, but he also embraced Islam as the same God that we Christians and Jewish people worship and serve. Well, now we're seeing a move of Islamic and Muslims in this nation trying to take over certain aspects, and yet they are allowed to go into schools. Yet Christians are allowed to go to schools. They're going to build a mosque where the towers once stood, and basically they're going to raise their flag there, and they have preference over anybody else right now. And then with this particular president that we have now, President Obama, he went over to Turkey, I believe it was, and says America's never been a Christian nation, but we have been influenced strongly by the Prophet Muhammad and his teachings. And now we're seeing such a void in America. We had the first post-American president ever, and each one of these presidents have opened a door that we may never be able to close.
Yeah, it is very important to fight for our heritage and our history so that future generations do not forget it. And you're right, who we select as president is very important in the messages that are being sent to our young people and to our nation and to the world. And that's why it's a very important issue.
Well, I believe what's happening, and I believe in November we may see a reverse of what has taken place in America. And that's why we do these type of cultural shows, so that the American people will go out and vote. And this year, Cleary and I have interviewed people who are running for Senate, running for Congress across the country. And almost undoubtedly, when I ask them this question, because I pick who I want on the show, I'm not going to pick somebody on my show that I disagree, so I have some big argument. I don't care to do that. And they say this, I really feel that I have a call from God. Some of these members have served our country in the military for 20, 25 years. Others have been pastors and ministers, and others have been businessmen. They feel that they have to serve their nation at this time. And I was just thinking about World War II when Europe was taken over by Germany. You would think it was all hopeless and all over. And when America was packed in Pearl Harbor, you didn't think we could ever recover. But we did recover. And America, once again, has to put godly leadership back into the place. I believe we could recover and basically get our nation back so that the American people once again could appreciate being the nation that's a shining light, a nation, one nation under God, one nation who really believes in the Christian Judeo God that made this country great. But we got to take on battles, what's taking place in our school systems and what's being taught to our children, and especially the media like Valcan with MTVs and what's that commercial, that children, Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. the stuff that they're teaching our children. This has got to stop, but we got to get involved.
Very, very, very well said. And what it really comes down to is Christians living out their Christian faith in the public square. We like to cabin in our religious beliefs. It's fine for us to believe this, but we don't want to actually live it out there in the voting booth or in the public square or in the public classroom. Our Christian faith was meant to be lived out in public. And so that's why at the Alliance Defense Fund, it's very important that we continue to fight to keep this right of Christians to live out their faith in public, because a Christian message is needed very importantly, very badly in America today.
Yeah, it is. And let's have your website. And folks, go to the website, hit donation, and get behind this group.
Thank you very much. It's tellADF.org.
Joe, we always love having you back. And once again, that's tellADF.org. God bless you. And thank you for serving our nation, but serving our godly nation the way you do. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Folks, we'll be right back with Julie Seymour of Business and Media Institute after the break.
School leadership class includes graphic sex ed display. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. In Tennessee, a group of talented students have the opportunity to take special classes to build leadership skills. They do a variety of activities that promote community involvement and public service. One of their classes, however, drew heavy criticism. An HIV education group called Nashville Cares hosted one of these leadership classes at Hillsborough High School on the topic of sexual issues. The class was in detail and included plastic models with demonstrations and graphic photos. When one student shared the information with their family, the parents were shocked at the level of inappropriate material. The parents complained and even took the matter up with their school board to get results. It appears that some disciplinary action may be in place for the teacher and that this leadership class is canceled for now. At Liberty Council, we encourage you to be involved with your children's education. Know what is happening at their school, both within and outside their curriculum. If you ever have legal questions, please call us at 800-671-1776. It's our goal to help families and students who will become the families of tomorrow.
Liberty Council is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee, Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Welcome back to Reality Check Live, and on the line we have Julia Seymour of Business and Media Institute. Julia, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thank you very much. It's good to
You're
be
welcome.
Here.
It's great to have you, folks. Once again, this is Julia Seymour of businessandmedia.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And she's wrote a piece that just came out yesterday, and Julia, I'd like to talk a little bit about that first, and
sure.
I want to ask you a question. What's $50 billion amongst friends?
Apparently, it's nothing.
This is amazing, and I love the way you pointed out The president asked for another stimulus of $50 billion, but as CNN stated, you don't use the word stimulus because it's become a dirty word. So we almost have to say the S word, stimulus. So they had to package it a new way.
Yeah.
And so it came out. They announced it during the World Cup. And all of a sudden, America has become huge soccer fans. That's all we talk about is soccer in the World Cup on the evening news. I have boys that are from Jamaica and England. They love the World Cup, but I could care less personally. So let's talk about this story.
Sure. Well, you know, certainly the World Cup is a story that's worth covering. It's something a lot of people care about. I don't, because I'm not a sports person, really. But I know that there are people out there who really like soccer, and that's fine. And I have no problem with the news media doing some World Cup coverage, even if they want to send reporters to South Africa. You know, if that's how they choose to spend their money, because they think that's what's a worthy story, fine. What I do have a problem with is when they cover it so much that other important stories that U.S. taxpayers would care about just get basically ignored. And that's what happened here. Obama submitted a letter to congressional leaders asking them to pass a derailed bill that would authorize another $50 billion of federal spending. This would go specifically, a lot of it would go to the states to supposedly prevent massive layoffs of policemen, firemen, and teachers. And the news on ABC, CBS, and NBC, we looked at them 3 days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and we found that they did 38 times more coverage of the World Cup than this stimulus request.
And what's interesting, you would think after the last stimulus, which was, what's that, $780-some billion, dollars, okay, that this was going to keep unemployment under 8%, mm-hmm. it was going to stimulate our economy, and we would have new jobs. And also, a lot of that money went to states, I believe, for teachers and firefighters and police officers and other government workers. But you know, when if we ever had the real breakdown, how much of that money actually went to keep the unions fed and their pension funds and all, it's quite amazing. And the American people have literally woke up. They believe that this president came in with such a fresh new boldness. He understood the times. He was a person that's not quite a millennial, a little bit older, but he understood where America is, etc. But the American people are very disappointed what they've seen with the last stimulus package.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are genuinely people who thought the original stimulus bill was going to work, and then they saw our economy continue to tank, and so now they're skeptics, and that's why stimulus has become a dirty word, because people don't believe in it. It's, you know, they believe, oh, more government spending that's going to cost us tax dollars down the road. Because obviously, with our federal deficit being what it is, eventually taxes are going to have to be raised. And then, you know, we're going to suffer and the consequences. So you can't just allow government to continue runaway spending. And that's why we have the entire Tea Party movement mobilized against runaway spending. And you're exactly right. The $787 billion economic stimulus plan that Barack Obama sold to us last year and that the news media helped sell, he said that would be that, this is a quote from him, that Fox News reported in 2009, the bill was supposedly so that local districts didn't have to lay off teachers, firefighters, police officers, and others. So then why do we need another $50 billion? You know, if that's what the stimulus was supposed to take care of, you know, essentially bailing out those unions back when that was passed, why do we need another $50 billion? Right. This is crazy talk. And what we've seen is that the throw money at it approach isn't working. You know, it hasn't gotten us out of, it certainly hasn't helped our unemployment so far. We've got 9.7 unemployment right now. It went as high as 10. He said it wouldn't go above 8. So the initial stimulus certainly failed by his own standards. And this is something that the media continues to ignore every time it talks about more stimulus being necessary.
You know, what I notice is that once you've given a spendthrift or somebody with a spending addiction, mm-hmm. something, a certain amount,
Yeah.
They go out and they spend it real fast, or they hog it, or what do what they want to do, making themselves and their friends happy. And then they want more, and they want more, and they want more. And I believe that the general population realize that the spending is out of control. Mm-hmm. But they touch what they bring it in as where you touch the hearts of the people, but like the firefighters and the police and the teachers and so forth. They're trying to manipulate the people to saying, well, this is for a good cause, let's do it, you know?
Absolutely. You know, that's why we hear talk about teachers and firefighters and police officers, because everyone knows that those are essential jobs in their community. And nobody wants to see their kids' teachers lose their jobs or your police officer not be, you know, you not have police service, you know? So that's why things like that get used by politicians all the time. We saw this when California, which is still having a massive budget crisis, you know, they said that if they didn't get, I can't remember what they were trying to do, but they were trying to get money, and they said, you know, if we don't get this, we're going to have to let the inmates go. I mean, talk about trying to scare people into making the decision the government wanted them to make. And you're right, it is absolutely manipulative.
You know what would really work, though, if you let the inmates out and run the government over there and put the governor, the Congress and the Senate or the government in the prison, maybe California might get some real solutions. So you just don't know what might work there. But California, of course, I love being sarcastic at times, but California is to spend millions and millions of dollars on the new electric car and having setups. Yeah. Why they self don't have money for 7 months. I think they only budget for 7 months. They're going to go broke again. And so they're going to depend on printed money. Now, what's interesting in your report, I can't remember who you quoted, but every government job that was created or government sustains, they make approximately 40% more than the person in the private sector. Now, does that make sense to you? Why would anybody want to start a business? Why would anybody want to work in the private sector when everybody want a government job to have?
Well, it also shows that there's a lot of bloat in the governmental system compared to the private sector. That was from Cato Institute's budget analyst, Tad DeHaven. And he said that he was basically saying that this latest request from Obama is really a union bailout, and all it would do is sustain the excessive wages and benefits government employees are enjoying at the expense of the private sector. And you're right. He pointed out that government employees, on average, for state and local governments, earn 45% more in total compensation by the hour than the average private sector employee. So he went on to say that why can't they just trim their compensation, you know? But the problem is, of course, nobody wants to get their, you know, nobody wants to take a pay cut. And government employees are used to making the kind of money that they make. They don't want to go elsewhere because they know they won't make as much.
Right. And I have friends who run large businesses in the town that I lived in. And basically, they sat down with their employees. Now, we could keep you all working if you would all take a pay cut, because their profit these days is minimal, especially in the construction, because it's really cutthroat out there right now. And many of them agreed, and some of them who thought they could do better outside left. But that's a choice you have to make.
Exactly.
Let's talk about all of Obama's monies. He still has the $300 billion bailout that's been returned. I believe, and I may be wrong here, so correct me, there could be up to $500 billion of that S money, which you can't say, it's a dirty word now. And now I'm thinking BP gave him another $20 billion. And we have an election cycle coming up. And many of our guests believe that President Barack Obama is going to use a majority of that money with those Democrats who are running for office up for re-election. And you can see that a lot of the stimulus money is going to be released to basically to help the people of their district so that they are reelected. He is going to use this money, and this is what's really hard for a lot of people to understand. He is going to use this money to manipulate the minds and the hearts of America and Americans, and also use it for a great campaign in the future. I don't know if you see it that way, but I do, and many other people do.
You're right. That's something a lot of people have been talking about, and I'm actually interested in. It's something we'll be trying to look at going forward and see if we can, you know, as the stimulus money continues to be spent, if it's being spent, you know, in districts that are obviously being used for politics. Hopefully, some enterprising reporters out there will be doing their job and exposing that. But you're right. There's still a huge amount of the $787 billion left to be spent. A lot of that's going to be distributed this year. And it wouldn't be surprising at all for, you know, a party in power to use it to their advantage to try to spend that in the places that they think it'll essentially buy votes.
And let's be honest, the president and administration has done very well with the mainstream media to censor what they wanted to censor.
Yes.
You see that for the first time that Keith Olbermann and who's the guy with the chill up his leg?
Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews went off on him for the very first time. But we only have a few minutes left, but you wrote a very eye-opening story last week talking about the lack the press had in the free and basically reporting the news in the Gulf or filming the areas that were hard hit and
yeah.
the suffrage of the wildlife, and yet nobody is really saying that we're being censored, and nobody is really blaming President Barack Obama for the failed stimulus package, as you put it in your last story, or in this particular story, nobody's crying foul yet.
Yeah, certainly there were a lot of journalists complaining that they don't have access to report on the oil spill. CBS released video of being turned away by a boat of BP contractors and a couple of Coast Guard officers. The Federal Aviation Administration has basically impacted the press's ability to reach the area because they've imposed flight restrictions. And charter planes, charter pilots who would normally take the press out to do reporting have been told in many cases not to allow the media on their flights or they'll be they won't be allowed to fly essentially.
Right, they'll lose a license.
So these are federal agencies who are stopping the press from doing their job, and yet the media are complaining that they're being blocked from reporting, but they're not pointing their finger up the federal chain of command. Obama claims, and he has claimed several times, and his administration has claimed, that he's in charge of this cleanup, that BP is making all its decisions, they have to be approved by Washington and all of that. And the fact is that BP doesn't have any authority over the Coast Guard or the FAA. So clearly those are agencies that are under Obama's control, or they should be under his control. He's the president
right.
of the United States, you know, the executor of our government. And yet the media are not connecting the dots here, which is particularly surprising given that Obama has a history of sort of, you know, stonewalling the press or trying to manage them and prevent them from doing having full access and doing reporting that way.
Now, we do understand that there are times that it's very important to have a no-fly zone. I lived
yeah.
in Miami growing up, and President Nixon had his home in Key Biscayne, and I can remember crossing over a certain invisible line on the water and escorted very quickly by the Secret Service and the Coast Guard
yeah.
because I just happened to drift in there. And, of course, I can understand why they wouldn't want planes there. I can
right.
also understand, they don't want nobody flying over Washington, D.C. But this is not for any reason but not to film. The only reason is not to film what's actually happening there or to film what work is actually being done. Because
yeah.
there's no hazard to send a plane up there. It's not that there's so much air traffic up there. There's no air traffic up there. And this is another way of censoring. And, you know, this goes back to when the president first was elected. PBS news commentary, Travis Smiley said to the rest of the reporters of the mainstream media, says, it's our job to make this president look good. And, you know, you think about what they're doing. At the
yeah.
cost of making this man look good, their idol, and thank God we had a black president, but we wanted a true American patriot to be our president. And is it really that important to the mainstream media to make one man look really good while the rest of our country, it can be going down the toilet?
Apparently it is, because it's what they've been doing since they elected him. I mean, with few exceptions. You know, there have been exceptions. There have, particularly after Obama's speech this week, it was surprising to see the left really criticize him for the speech. No doubt they were criticizing him for not basically having an iron fist and saying, I am the dictator and I am in charge of everything and just, you know, BP's just going to have to like it or lump it. It doesn't really matter because he's the president. But to actually see criticism coming out from some people in the news media is shocking only because it hasn't been happening. There has been so little criticism of this administration and all of their agenda items throughout the, you know, the roughly year and a half he's been in office,
yeah,
that any criticism is now stunning.
Right. And, you know, he has strong arm tactics being reported. Nobody got off that. But you know what happened, though, when Louis Farrakhan spoke, who is the leader of the Nation of Islam, says, children, this is the Messiah. Listen to him. And the mainstream media bow to the Messiah. You got the last word, and give us your website.
Yes. Well, just thank you again for having me on today.
Love having you.
And, yeah, you can find the story about press freedom and the stimulus and a whole bunch of other stuff on our website, businessandmedia.org.
Julia, we look forward to having you every week. Thank you for being with us, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Folks, we'll be right back with Insights with Dr. Mom.
School leadership class includes graphic sex ed display. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. In Tennessee, a group of talented students have the opportunity to take special classes to build leadership skills. They do a variety of activities that promote community involvement and public service. One of their classes, however, drew heavy criticism. An HIV education group called Nashville Cares hosted one of these leadership classes at Hillsborough High School on the topic of sexual issues. The class was in detail and included plastic models with demonstrations and graphic photos. When one student shared the information with their family, the parents were shocked at the level of inappropriate material. The parents complained and even took the matter up with their school board to get results. It appears that some disciplinary action may be in place for the teacher and that this leadership class is canceled for now. At Liberty Council, we encourage you to be involved with your children's education. Know what is happening at their school, both within and outside their curriculum. If you ever have legal questions, please call us at 800-671-1776. It's our goal to help families and students who will become the families of tomorrow.
Liberty Council is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
And now it's time for Insights with Dr. Mom. Dealing with family issues of the day and discussing a common sense way to solve the problems we're all faced with our families today. That's Insights with Dr. Mom. Heard right here on TAN Talk Radio on Reality Check. And now, Dr. Mom.
Many of us in this nation at this time are fearful, discouraged, depressed, and some are even destitute. But all these feelings stem from focusing on ourselves and our circumstances. But think of this. If we have done everything we could to survive, succeed, excel, or get ahead in life and nothing work, does that mean that God is not with us? Definitely not. It simply means that our abilities are limited to time and space. Therefore, we need to tap into the supernatural ability of a higher power. We can choose to put our trust in the person who created the heavens and the earth and holds the entire universe in the palm of his hands. Have you ever wondered if God needs all the beauty, oil, gold, gas, diamonds, pearls, and all the precious metals that he placed on the earth? The answer is no. God does not need any of them. All of these things belong to him, and he strategically placed them within the reach of humans. He created the heavens and the earth with everything in it before he created humans. That is because he was preparing a comfortable, kind, loving, and prosperous place for his people to inherit. He wants us to harvest and use all the resources he gave us. He wants us to be blessed beyond our wildest dreams, and he has given us everything we need to excel in his blessings. The fun part is, it is free to everyone who wants to accept his blessings. The awesome truth is that Almighty God loves us more than he loves things. Therefore, let us stir ourselves, shake off the depression, fear, and anxiety, and put a smile on our faces. Let us be thankful for the blessings we have and trust his supernatural power to take us through the hard times. He will, because in the scriptures, he promised us that he will supply all our needs. Then look in the mirror and encourage yourself that God is alive, he's all powerful, he's all wise, he's everywhere, and is looking out for your best interest. This is Insights with Dr. Mom. You're not alone. God has you covered on every side by his love and his presence. Know that because Jesus Christ lives, you too can also live. Now is the time to begin to live life to its fullest, and you will be glad you did.
You know, Carrie, one of the things I like to ask the listeners, or ask anybody in America, how is it working for you living without God? How do you deal with day-to-day problems? How do you stay even married and dealing with your loved one? How do you deal with your children when they're out there and you don't know where they are? How do you deal with a job or not having a job? How are you really doing? How's it working for you, America, without having a God? It doesn't work for you. But one of the biggest disappointments for me, Clary, is the people who claim to know God. They go to church, but they never get to know him intimately, personally, and then they have the same statistics in divorce, and premarital sex, pregnancies, and everything else. It's time that we discover what a great Savior America and the world has. And I do believe, without any shadow of doubt, it's Jesus Christ.
Yes, I agree. But, you know, when people don't want to put their trust in God, it's because they feel that there are so many rules and regulations in the Bible. But everything that isn't there is basically for our protection. And God is not a killjoy. He is always looking out to give us what's best for us. And the thing is, if you drink poison, you're going to die. And things in the Bible that are there that we're not supposed to do is for our protection and for our health. But, you know, some people don't want to live within the guidelines of morality and values. And therefore, they go to drugs or they go to sex, or they go to look to the government, or they look to God knows what else. They space themselves out so they don't have to think about life, and then they just wake up next morning and do the same, and just keep on going, and they'll never know what it is to live, Mike.
And see, I was that guy who basically looked at women as a sporting event. Drugs were just to take me to another place of excitement. I know what it's like to live that way and thinking, this is great, there's nothing like it. But I also know what it did to me and almost destroyed me and almost had me institutionalized because of what the drugs and all the perversions did to me. Clary, we got to get ready to get off. I mean, so I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds and you can say goodbye to everybody.
Yes, but the first thing you said was that women were a sporting event. And women could be if they're your wife. They could still be the sporting event if they're your wife.
And sometimes our games start.
And God bless you and God bless America. Thank you for listening to Reality Check Live with Mike and Clary.
Bye.
Nothing left to feel all these misses. I got nothing but a sentence coming up.